the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now to leadership of sorts in the political world. This week, the UK and the US announced a historic trade deal. They hailed their special relationship as a key factor in agreeing terms. But just how good a deal is it, and what does it mean for a future trade deal between the US and Europe? Economist David McWilliams joins me now on the line. First of all, I suppose, David, before we talk about the wider picture, is this actually a real trade deal? Is it part of a trade deal? And is it a good deal for the UK?
Good morning, Richard. Firstly, this is a very typical Trump deal. He's pretending to fix something that wasn't broken in the first place, or if it was, that he broke with a deal. So imagine the UK was very open to US trade. In fact, tariffs between the UK and the US were at half a percentage point, until Trump broke that by increasing them to 10. And he's now doing a deal to try and fix what he actually just broke. That's the first thing. Second thing, so is it a deal? Not really. Second thing is that Britain and America are two powers that run massive trade deficits. So from an economic perspective, running a trade deal together doesn't fix anything because there's no imbalance in the first place again. But the third factor, which may be interesting, Richard, is what it tells us about geostrategy, what it tells us about the way in which the Americans are thinking. Because what this deal has done, it has given us the American framework. And what the Americans, or at least the Trump administration, wants to do is it's trying to enlist or even conscript the rest of the world in its aggressive trade stance with China. So what it said to the British is, look, we will overlook your pharmaceutical industry. We will overlook your cars. We'll treat them specially if you tell us that across a whole series of trades, manufacturing, etc., you will not deal with China. So what, number one is, it's not a deal because it wasn't broken in the first place. Number two, Britain and America are not serious mercantile players, so it doesn't matter really between the two countries. But number three, Richard, I think what's interesting here is it reveals the American thinking, which is we are going to try and bully the rest of the world into isolating China. And what that actually means is that for sovereign countries, the Americans are hoping to have what they might describe as, or at least people in the sovereign countries might describe as, a veto over who you trade and do business with. And that's, I suppose, what emerges from this, if there's anything serious that it's emerging from this.
And it's also interesting the point you make about trying to isolate China, because at the same time, the United States is now opening up trade discussions with the Chinese. So that's going on at the same time.
And look, and you know why they're doing that? Is because in the last 6 weeks, the port of Los Angeles, which is the main port of trade from China, has seen a 50% decline in goods coming from China. Now, what that means, Richard, very soon, is much higher prices for those goods in America, number one. But number two, it actually means in practical terms, empty shelves all across America, because you cannot replace those goods that are not coming from China. So what you're doing is, and it's been said before, is you're kind of having the COVID effect without COVID. You are basically strangling the import side of your economy, which is what they're doing. So I think the reason the Americans are now having trade negotiations with the Chinese is the Trump administration has realized that it shot itself in the foot, and very, very soon, and I'm talking within, let's say American retailers have inventories, i.e. stocks, for about a month and a half. Once those stocks are drawn down, once those inventories are drawn down, they've no more goods to sell.
So that creates...
So you could be looking by midsummer at the Americans having empty shelves.
So that creates
that
a whole sense of urgency.
They are now thinking, oh my God, let's do a deal with the Chinese.
And the other thing is, when you look at the UK-US deal as well, Keir Starmer was, you know, very much trumpeting the fact that they were able to do this deal independently post-Brexit, as opposed to doing it through the EU. But as the international trade rule book gets torn up by this White House administration. You move away from a rules-based system to these kind of bilateral one-on-one deals. And they're really about power, aren't they, David? In other words, the more economic power the other entity has, the better the deal they'll be able to do. And the UK is not as big as the EU.
Well, I mean, of course, that's the obvious thing. This is as you said, this is Brexit Mark II in terms of negotiating. But you talk about rules there. I just think there's only one rule when dealing with the Trump administration. It's a starting rule and it's a finishing rule. And I call it the TACO rule. And TACO, T-A-C-O, stands for Trump always chickens out. And once you understand that, right? TACO is the basic, it's a new expression, right? It is exactly what is going to define the next 6 months.
Why? It's a hot off the presses expression, David.
Because if you think about it, right, what we've seen is, whether it's dealing internally or externally, with allies, with foes, no matter what, TACO, Trump always chickens out.
And it's quite nice that it's the same as a Mexican food, actually, as well.
Exactly. And then the fact that he's been so anti-Mexican, right? So this is Montezuma's revenge in economics, okay? Which is basically the TACO rule. Now let's look at what's going to happen, right? In the United States, they're probably going to have, as I said, these shortages, the shelves will be empty, inflation will rise, the American administration will begin to panic, right? All the while, the European Union is sitting there saying, look, you know what? We'll do a deal with you, but the deal can't be conditional on us not dealing with China. Why? Because Europe depends on China. European consumers get cheap goods from China. If we decide to isolate China, what we're actually doing is imposing a tax on our own people. So what I would say is the TACO rule suggests it doesn't matter about power. Just wait and see, simply because the chaos internally in America will disrupt the regime or the administration, and they will cave in because Trump always chickens out.
If you take that perspective and analysis on it, if you look at Ireland so far in this in 2025 and the new tariff regime, etc., that has been announced and changed and negotiated, we've been lucky because we've so far avoided the high reciprocal tariffs. They're on hold. They may or may not emerge. We have no special tariffs on pharmaceuticals, although they were threatened, not yet anyway. And there are now negotiations taking place, which is a better way of doing things. So we've been quite lucky up to now, haven't we?
Yeah, we just wait and see. I mean, again, I come back to TACO. We wait and see what Trump does. We wait what the internal pressure is. We wait what the financial markets are doing. There are all sorts of variables here which will affect the Trump administration's near and medium term worldview. But maybe the other idea is to say, look, you know, Ireland has now, we are a country that is, you would probably describe it was a company's overtrading. And by that, I mean the top line is flying, you know, the sales targets are flying, but internally, the company is highly stretched. Ireland's in that sort of situation, which is, do we need tons more, billions and billions of dollars of more of American investment right now, at a time when we have a housing crisis, at a time when we've got full employment, at a time when the problems of society are not the problems of failure, they are the problems of success. And I think in a way, this should jolt the Irish administration to say, hold on a second, we are now a relatively rich country. So stop thinking like a relatively poor country. Stop thinking that we need every single cent of other people's money to push into the economy, to create more and more capacity problems, to create more and more problems such that the quality of people's lives is now quite far away from what we would call their standard of living as measured by income.
So do you think we kind of need a bit of a slowdown? And yes, almost accidentally, Trump might end up doing us a favour if this ends up being a slowdown rather than a serious recession.
Exactly. The problem with Ireland is that the economy is overheating on every single metric we know. More and more demand. What we need is more and more supply. And that can only come from bringing the economy, bringing pressure off the economy. In a way, I think Ireland's got to mature a little bit in the terms of how we see the country. That when you've got full employment and a housing crisis, you know what you don't really need is a massive injection of foreign capital and foreign money. So, in fact, you need to be able to deal with what's in front of you.
So deal with what we have and think maybe a little bit more long term for the future. David McWilliams, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme.